Amen. That was a blessing. Thank you, Mary. Beautiful song. And I like this passage. This is a good passage of Scripture. It's exciting. And so a new heaven, a new earth, for the first heaven, the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And then verse 3 is our text. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." And notice what happens in dwelling with him. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And what a blessing, what a wonderful thought that is. That is in the future, of course, and what an exciting thing it is. Father, I pray you bless the preaching. Please speak to our hearts. Give us exactly what we need from your word today. I pray if there's anyone here who's not saved, that today would be the day they would come to Christ. But speak to all of us, Lord, and teach us from thy word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, this passage follows the passage in chapter 20 that we talk about as far as the great white throne judgment. The Bible says in chapter 20 and verse 12, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And, just not a real happy passage, but it is the truth. It is from the Word of God, and it is certainly what is going to happen. And you'll notice these people are judged according to their works. And, the truth of the matter is our works aren't hot. Our works, the Bible says, our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And, all a person would have to do is look at their own life and realize our works aren't going to get us to heaven. And these people are judged by their works because that's all they got to go by. Amen. They don't have the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. You say, how do you know that? Because their name's not found written in the book of life. And they've not been saved. They've not trusted Christ. I hope today you have made that decision. I hope today you have trusted Jesus as your Savior. He died on the cross to pay for your sins. He died on the cross so that you could go to heaven. And what is in verse 3 and 4 could be true for you, that one day you'll be able to dwell with God in heaven. And most of the folks here this morning on a Sunday morning, most of the people, certainly the majority, will one day go to heaven. One of these days you're going to be in heaven. I mentioned, of course, Brother Claire Laux went to be with the Lord, and he's in heaven now. I've been thinking about that a lot since Bill called me yesterday afternoon. We saw Claire yesterday morning, and I read to him about heaven, and read some scripture, and I've been thinking about what all he's doing, and now that he's in heaven. And most of the people in this room, we're going to see him again. It's not like this is a goodbye forever. It's just see you later. And we're going to see him again, and we're going to see many others who have gone before. And it's an exciting thought to think about heaven. But one of the greatest things about heaven, we see here in verse 3, it says, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." Well, that's an exciting thought. I mean, I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to be able to touch his hands and see where the nails pierce them. And I'm going to be able to thank him and love him and all of that. But here's what I want to submit to you. Not only this morning, but even tonight, we're going to talk about this. It's kind of a part one, part two. And that is, we can dwell with God now. We don't have to wait till heaven. Dwelling with God. Dwelling with God. And, you don't have to wait until heaven to dwell with God. You don't have to. In fact, you can have him in your heart today as a Christian, and he dwells with every believer. We just don't really think about it like we ought to. It's interesting. God wants fellowship with men. That's amazing to me. Read your Bible cover to cover, and you're going to find out that God in heaven wants fellowship with us. That's amazing to me. It really is. God wants to be around you.
God wants you to talk to Him and to fellowship with Him. You know, it's interesting, if you read your Bible from cover to cover, you'll start out and you'll see Adam with God in the Garden of Eden. And it's a perfect place, and Adam just fellowships with God. And when Eve is made, Adam and Eve fellowship with God. By the way, if your home is going to be what it should be, you need together to fellowship with God. And have Christ right there in the center of your home, right there in your marriage. And here in the very beginning, God is fellowshipping with Adam. And the Bible says that they walk together in the cool of the morning. And boy, it's got to be a wonderful thing to have that kind of fellowship, God with man. And we know the story, how that Adam and Eve sinned against God. And the sad story in the Scripture of God coming down, as He always did every day. And He's going to fellowship with Adam and Eve. And all of a sudden He's looking for Adam and Eve, and they're hiding because of their sin. One of the saddest things in my mind, I wonder what that was like as God comes down to fellowship with man. And man should be absolutely thrilled that God in heaven would fellowship with them. And instead they're hiding because they committed sin. Hey, are you hiding from God today? Are you enjoying the fellowship you could have with God? But there He was. And because of sin, that fellowship was broken. The fellowship was broken between man and God. And God wanted to fellowship with man there in the garden, but man sinned. And so God made another way for man to fellowship with Him. And as Israel was wandering in the wilderness, as they were there in the wilderness, God designed the tabernacle for man so that man could have fellowship with Him. And then in Jerusalem, God instructed man to build the temple so that God could fellowship with man. And then, of course, the Lord Jesus came, and He Himself came in flesh, and He came down, and He fellowshiped with man and walked on the earth and lived a perfect life and then died on the cross to pay for man's sin. But when a person trusts Christ as Savior, He comes to live inside. He dwells with every believer. To me, that's an exciting thought. I mean, I read Revelation. I'm excited about Revelation chapter 21. I'm excited about going to heaven and being able to see Him face to face. But I'm just as excited He's in me. You should be excited today that God has chosen to dwell in you. Now He abides within every believer. Our bodies, the Bible says, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. This body houses the Holy Spirit of God. You read in your Bible about the tabernacle. Wow, that tabernacle. Boy, look how God took care of that thing and how God planned all that. And our body now houses the Holy Spirit of God. Wow, the temple. Boy, Solomon's temple. Can you imagine what a beautiful thing that was? And later on, the other temple. And boy, God really was concerned that everything would be just right. Oh, yeah. And now He dwells in me. Now He dwells in you as a Christian. What a blessing. God dwelling in me. And if you're not saved today, understand this. God does not dwell in you. If you've never trusted Christ, God will not dwell in you. You will not dwell with God. I think the worst thing about hell is the fact God's not there. I understand its fire. I understand its torment. I understand the things the Bible says about it that are very, very terrible. But to me, the worst thing is that God is not there. God's presence is nowhere around when a person is in hell. But for the Christian, He dwells. Dwelling with God. What is that all about? And I just want to look at this and compare this temple with the temple, with the tabernacle, with the way that God has chosen to dwell with us. It should amaze you today that God would dwell with you. You know, we'd get all excited if some famous person were to say they were coming. Boy, people would line up. You know, they want to see those famous people. Maybe a politician or maybe the president or someone. Now, don't say what you want to do. But there's folks, you know, I mean, you know, these maybe a basketball player or something like that, you know, and you're excited. Maybe you're hockey, one of your hockey stars or something like that. Oh boy, I want to see that person. But let me tell you something. You ought to be thrilled that God Almighty dwells in the believer. One of the greatest things about our salvation, stay with me now, one of the greatest things about being saved today, yes, I know I'm going to heaven, praise the Lord for that, God dwells in me. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God, and He dwells in me, and you too if you're saved. I want to show you some things about that this morning that just, it's thrilling. Number one, the plans were God's. We studied the tabernacle, we studied that several months ago, maybe a year ago or so. And look at Exodus 25 and verse 8. Actually, it's probably been 2 years ago. Exodus 25 and verse 8. Number one, the plans were God's. And I know we talked about that in my Sunday school class, but not everybody's in my Sunday school class. And my class probably doesn't remember. Well, it's just because they've done so much deep, deep Bible study since then. Exodus 25 and verse 8, the Bible says, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." See, it was all God's idea. You know, that God would dwell with man, that was all God's idea. That wasn't man coming up with the idea, oh, you know, if only God would dwell with me. No, no, no. It was God's idea. The plans were God's plans. He said, "Let them make me a sanctuary that I might dwell among them." God says, "I want to be among you." God says, "I want to be among my people. I want to be among those that love me." And the plans were God's. God figured all that out. God figured it all out because God loves us. That's the amazing thing about it. Even though man sinned against God, God still wants to fellowship with man. Even though Adam and Eve went against God, went against what God said, disobeyed God, God still said, "You know, I want to dwell among men. I want to be among these people." It kind of takes me back when I think about God's love and how Brenda and I, when we were dating, we lived 45 miles apart. And I mean, we were always coming up with creative ways to somehow see each other. You know, there were always some kind of creative ways, and I'd be working, and she would drive all the way down there just to come and see me at work. Isn't that amazing? I was worth it, I know, but she would come. There were times she would be at work, and I would drive all the way to Bluffton just so I could be with her. You know, because we were starting to fall in love. Isn't that beautiful? And we want to be around each other. We want to see each other. You know, I think about God in heaven, and He looks down at man. And man is a sinner. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And God still looks down and says, "I love them." God says, "I love you." He says, "I want to be with you. I want to dwell with you. I want to make it possible." And He says, "I'll plan it all out." And He plans everything. He planned the tabernacle. He planned the temple. He planned sending His only begotten Son to come and to die on an old rugged cross to pay for our sins so that we could dwell with Him. So He could come and live inside of us. And then someday we could go to heaven and we could dwell for all eternity. And it was not possible without His plan. It could not happen without His plan. But it amazes me, God takes the first step. God shows His desire to dwell with man. He shows His desire to want our fellowship. The Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. Boy, that ought to make you really, really think about that. We love Him because He first loved us. Adam sinned, and God made a way still to fellowship with man. Tabernacle was made by man. The temple was made by man. And Jesus died on the cross, and God said, "I'll make man a temple. I'll just make man a temple, and I will come and live inside of man." And that's only possible because Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins. Hey, if you're saved today, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit of God. I don't have time to go all the way through the Old Testament and through the temple and study all that. It'd be a good study for you, though, I guarantee. You can just see how precious that temple was to God. And how we're going to look at some things this morning and tonight. But just understand, that means everything to God. He wants to dwell with man. Then it goes on, not only were the plans God's, but number two, the foundation was laid by God. God laid the foundation. I love that. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." That's the foundation. That, there is no building. There is no temple. There is nothing without Jesus Christ. It doesn't exist. There is nothing. There is no temple. And Jesus was born. And we're going to go through that at Vacation Bible School. That's going to be interesting. Christmas, you know, in the middle of summer. And the only thing about it here in Michigan, it still could snow. That is one thing we know for sure here. And it was very interesting. My wife and I were walking this past week. And a couple times we were walking around and folks had jackets on and everything. And I mean, come on, it's the end of May. But it's Michigan. It could still snow. Don't pray for that, please. But Jesus came and he came to this earth and he came to die on an old rugged cross and he didn't stay dead. Amen. Up from the grave, he arose and he was resurrected. And because of that, by the way, that's the gospel right there. And because of that, God says, I'm laying a foundation here so that I can come and I can live inside of people. So I can live inside of those that I love. I can dwell with them. Are you excited, Christian, that Jesus dwells with you? Are you excited that he's there? Or is it kind of a hindrance? Well, I'd like to do this, but I know he's watching. Yeah, we'll talk about that more tonight. Psalm 40, verse 2. It says, "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and establish my goings." Huh? He laid the foundation. He set my feet on a rock. That foundation, it doesn't move. Amen? I mean, it's just as solid as it can be. He says, "What? Know ye not that your bodies are the temple?" But he laid the foundation. We couldn't have done it. Hey, if we'd have tried to do it, we'd have messed everything up, wouldn't we? Sure we would. You know, I'll just join the church. That ought to get everything going. No, joining the church doesn't get anything going. No, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll get baptized. That ought to impress somebody. That's not impressive at all just to get baptized. Well, I'll help little old ladies cross the street. That ought to do it. No, that doesn't get you to heaven. No, we had to be saved. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." That's what's going to do it. And he said, "I have given you the foundation. There is no other foundation. There is no other way." Somebody said, "Well, I think we ought to just kind of let all religions do their own thing." Well, they are doing their own thing, but there's still only one way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And when we can think anything we want to think, we can believe anything we want to believe, understand that there's only one truth. I've said this many times, and it's interesting. Nixon's decided to drive through Bern, Indiana, just to see if I was telling the truth. They were checking up on me. And we lived among the Amish, and the Amish didn't believe in electricity. Oh, yeah, that's the devil's thing. But every time I flipped the little switch, the lights came on. They didn't believe in telephones, except whenever they needed to use one, and they line up at the payphone all the time. I'm just saying, doesn't matter what you believe in, doesn't matter what you believe. What matters is the truth. And I'm telling you, there's only one foundation, and that's Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. It's not Baptist. It's not Pastor Rogers. Hey, listen to me. It's Jesus Christ is the foundation. There is no other foundation. And if you're going to be a temple where God can dwell, you're going to have to start off with that foundation that God Himself laid. God Himself laid it. We'd mess everything up if we tried to lay it. God Himself laid it. And Jesus is that foundation. The third thing is the temple is made. The whole temple is made by God. Not by man, as all the tabernacle. Oh, God told them how to do it, and they built it. Temple, God told them how to do it, they built it. But this temple is being made by God. It's being made by God. It is miraculous. You know, if you're saved today, you are a miracle. We are miracles. Somebody said, "Wow, I just want to see a miracle." Okay, point them to you. I do all the time. I'll have people constantly, we don't see miracles nowadays. Are you kidding me? I see one every day when I look in the mirror. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. You say, "Preacher, you look in the mirror." Well, anyway, it's probably why God's taking away my sight, just to help me take that a little bit better. But I'm telling you, it's a miracle. You are a miracle if you're saved. It's a miracle by God. And God is making us, and he's dwelling in us. See, for a lot of folks, this, it doesn't really mean anything to me. That's because you're not thinking. You're not understanding. This is God we're talking about. Dwelling with God. This isn't some Hollywood star. Oh yeah, boy, if I could just be around that. Yeah, no, this is God. It's bigger than any star, bigger than any millionaire, bigger than any politician. It's bigger than anything. This is God dwelling inside of us. The temple is made by God, and it's unique. Not like any of these other dwellings. Oh, you say, I read about the tabernacle. That's amazing. You're amazing. Oh, I read about the temple, Solomon's temple. What an amazing thing. No, you're an amazing thing. Look at the comparisons here of the temple that is made by God. First of all, the material that was used, it was unfit material. Look at 1 Chronicles 22. 1 Chronicles 22. All the materials had to be worked on. Everything in the building of the tabernacle and the temple. 1 Chronicles 22. Everything had to be worked on. Nothing was, God didn't make materials in the shape and the form and everything exactly how it had to be. Man had to work on it. 1 Chronicles 22, verse 2, it says, David commanded to gather together the strangers who were in the land of Israel, and he set masons to hew wrought stones to build the house of God. David prepared iron in abundance for the nails, for the doors of the gates, and for the joinings, and brass in abundance without weight. And on and on and on and on. If you study the tabernacle, if you study the temple, you'll find out the material all had to be worked on. It was unfit in its original state. It could not be used. I think about that, and I think about, that's the same way with this old temple right here. This old temple right here, in its original state, was not usable at all. In its original state, it was wicked. It was vile. It was a sinner. Look at 1 Corinthians 6 for a comparison here. I love this passage, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. This material, this is where we came from. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Look what he says. And such were some of you. That's us. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You see, we are washed. We're cleansed. We're made. Otherwise, the temple could not be a dwelling place of God. Whew, man, I like it. Some of you ought to tell your face. That's good. Amen. I mean, that's good. Bible says in Ephesians 2, ye are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I like that. Created in Christ Jesus. Hey, I'm a temple that is built by God Almighty to house him so I can dwell with him. He washed me. He cleansed me. He's creating me. He's making me what I need to be. 1 Kings 6 and verse 7. 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 7. Keeping you awake here, you got to turn to all these pages. 1 Kings 6. It's in the Old Testament. Amen. Larry, have you found it?
Yes, sir.
All right. 1 Kings 6 and verse 7. It says, and the house, when it was in building, was built of stone made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in the building. Here's some things that were prepared ahead of time. And they were being prepared. God's got something for you to do, and he's preparing you to do it. I love that. Here's material that's unfit. Here's material that can't even be used. And God puts it all together. He washes us and washes away our sins in the blood of Christ. And he works in our lives. And he makes us more fit to serve him. Go to 1 Peter 2, verse 5. You say, these are all opposite of each other. I know, and I'm trying to keep you awake. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Notice, you're built up a spiritual house. God's working on you. God's working on us, and we are His workmanship, and we come from unfit material. We come from material that's not ready to be used as a temple. It's not in its own state. It can't be used to house the Holy Spirit of God. God says, it's all right. I'll send my Son to die on the cross. I'll wash that material. I'll start working on that material. I'll make that material so that it can house my Holy Spirit so I can dwell with that man. And He does that for every one of us. That's an amazing thing. Absolutely. You sit here today and you say, oh boy, preacher, you don't understand where I've been. Doesn't matter. He's able to wash anybody. So you don't understand what I've done. Doesn't matter. He's able to wash anybody. Oh yeah, but I used to do. It doesn't matter what you used to do. It doesn't matter where you've been. Did you see that long list of things? And he said, but such were some of you. But ye are washed. You look around the room. There's all kinds of folks here. We got folks here used to be alcoholics, used to be drug dealers, used to be drug pushers, used to take drugs, used to be involved in all kinds of immorality. But ye are washed. You say, you mean God can dwell in something like that? Yeah, because of Jesus, He can. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. You mean God could dwell? I mean, can you imagine some big old stone that they carved out of a mountain, and it's odd shaped, and it's nasty looking, and you're going to use that on the temple? I'm not going to use it like that. No, I'm going to work on that thing. Huh? And God looks down at Doug Rogers as a 17-year-old boy, and Doug Rogers kneels at his bed and asks Jesus into his heart. God says, I'm going to start carving away on that boy. I'm going to work on that boy. I got to wash him off. I got to clean him up. And bless God, He works in my life, and He dwells with me. And that's the only way. The temple's made by God. The material's unfit, but God cleans it. Notice 1 Chronicles 26. Notice the pattern. Old Testament, New Testament. Old Testament, New Testament. 1 Chronicles 26. And there are many, many verses that talk about these things. I just picked out a few. 1 Chronicles 26, 27. And notice what it says. Out of the spoils won in battles did they dedicate to maintain the house of the Lord. And some of the materials were won in battles. Yeah. Yeah, and notice it's for the house of the Lord. I think of all the battles that have been fought. I'm talking about battles that have been fought over this temple right here. Huh? This temple, just one temple right here. This one, the battles. God said, hey, He said, here's how we're going to maintain the house of the Lord. Here's how we're going to repair this and repair. We're going to go to battle. And we're going to get some materials when we win the battles. And we're going to take over countries and we're going to get their materials. And we're going to maintain the house of the Lord. Boy, there's been a lot of battles won over this temple right here. You know, I think about before I got saved, all the battles that were being fought for my soul. You sit here today and say, you know, my salvation doesn't mean a whole lot. Hey, there were battles fought for your salvation. Not only that, Jesus died on the cross, but I'm thinking about battles that were fought. You know, I think about all the folks that tried to talk to me about the Lord. And some of them I cussed out and wasn't interested and didn't want to hear it. But boy, some battles were fought over this soul. You think about your soul. How many battles have been fought? And not only for you to get saved, but how many battles have been fought since you've been saved? Oh, the devil's, you know, he's out to ruin your life. He's out to destroy you. You know, some of you, it's amazing. We'll come to church and there'll be folks that could care less about anything going on. And I think, why are you even here? You know, you just give in to the battle. But boy, the battle that goes on, you know, Satan tries to distract. Satan tries to get you off thinking about other things. Satan does this. And the battles, because God's going to give you something that's going to help you. The battle for the temple. Continual battle. And, you know, the battle for your life. See, when you get saved, Satan can't have your soul. He can't do a thing about it. Nothing. You get saved, you trust Christ, the devil's out of the picture as far as your soul is concerned. Can't do a thing about it. That's such a wonderful thought. But boy, I'll tell you, he'll do anything he can to keep you from doing anything for God. And it is a battle. It is a battle. And we fight the battle in the church. We fight the battle all the time for you. the battles for our souls, the battles for our lives, the battles that are fought. It's just like the temple. It's no different than the temple. I like another thing about it, and that is the variety of materials that are used in the temple. The variety of materials used in the tabernacle. We studied that and looked at all the different materials. Gold and silver and brass and iron and wood and stone. And all the variety of materials. And immediately I think about this temple. And you as a temple. Isn't it amazing when you look around at how different we are? I mean, honestly, gold and wood don't have a lot in common. Not at all. Brass and stone don't have much in common. But God used all for His dwelling. It amazes me how God uses all kinds of people, all kinds of things, all kinds of... God uses so many different things so that we can dwell with Him. Gold and silver and brass and iron and wood and stone and all kinds of things. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 21. Ephesians 2 and verse 21. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And of course, he refers many times to his church as a temple, a dwelling place where God's people come together and he dwells with them. I think about the variety of materials. We have folks from all walks of life. I think really the most amazing organization in all the world is the church. It is amazing, really. You know, all the different kinds of people. I mean, downstairs we have a Spanish ministry going on. You know, over across the parking lot, we have a shepherd's ministry going on. Earlier this week, we had the teenagers. They're a whole different nationality. I mean, teenagers are, I don't even know how to describe teen. And they're having a water fight, and it's 50 degrees. It was hilarious. Then they don't talk while I'm preaching. Then I go outside to watch from a long distance, and one of them comes over and acts like, you know, "Oh, Pastor, I'm so glad to see you." As if I don't know what she was going to do. Yeah, she had a balloon hidden, water balloon, ready to throw it at me. And there I am in my nice suit. Yeah. But, I mean, it's hilarious. How do you know? And you have people that have all kinds of different jobs, backgrounds, education, financial ability. I mean, all these different people. And all together because God wants to dwell with us. That's just amazing. I mean, the backgrounds of people here. You know, just where we came from and what all we've done. And yet God wants to dwell with us. And He wants to use us. And all the different gifts that God's given. I mean, some get up and preach. Some get up and sing. Some play instruments. We have all these children, 20-some children, going to have band camp this week. And we've got French horn players. We have clarinet players. We have violin. We have piano. And everybody's different. It all works together. That's amazing to me. Absolutely amazing. All kinds of people, all kinds of gifts. And the idea that you have something to offer. You have something that God wants to use. That's an amazing thing. And then the last thing, you know, the temple is made by God, but it's built according to a divine pattern. God is so specific, and we're not going to go through all of that. First Chronicles, it talks about this divine pattern that God had. And God gives all these specifics, detail. You know, it amazes me how we have this idea, well, God doesn't care what I do. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Every now and then I'll have somebody say, well, you know, God just wants us to be happy. That is so far from true. God knows how you can be happy. It may be true that God wants you to be happy, but God does care what you do. Because God wants you to be happy. He knows the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And if he's ordering the steps, he wants you to follow those steps. He wants you to go where he wants you to go and be what he wants you to be so that you can ultimately have everything that he has for you. Everything is in detail. I get frustrated when somebody, well, God, you know, God doesn't really have a plan for people. He has a plan for every person. Just like with the tabernacle, he had a plan for the socket and the pin. Hello? He had a plan for the badger skins. Everything. Everything he said. This is where it goes. This is how it fits. This is what I want exactly like this. He had a plan for the gold. He had a plan for the wood. Everything. And we would dare say, oh, he doesn't care. Are you kidding? As his temple, as his dwelling place, if he cared about that tent in the wilderness, if he cared about Solomon's temple and every little detail of that temple, if he cared about, how in the world would I think he doesn't care about me? You see, the temple, the tabernacle, those were his. Could I remind you that we are his? You are bought with a price. Bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and spirit, which are God's. Yeah. We're bought with a price. This temple that he dwells in was bought with a price. I'm reminded when, what was the guy's name in Daniel? Belshazzar. I think that was the one. They had stolen the cups out of the temple. The temple, they had the temple furniture and all of that, but they had the cups and the things that had been dedicated to God. And I believe it was Belshazzar was having the feast. And they started drinking out of the. He said, "Hey, bring those cups from Jerusalem. Bring those things out of Jerusalem. We might as well use those." And he took those cups, and they were having a immorality going on, and drunkenness was going on. They were drinking out of those cups. And I promise you, there were people all over the place. Ha! That isn't going to matter. Oh, wait a minute. That was God's. By the way, the word sanctify is a word set apart for God's use. Consecration, those words all kind of tie together. Holy, those things all kind of tie together. Those are God's things. And old Belshazzar, you know, hey, it's all right. Let's just keep partying. And all of a sudden, that hand comes out and writes on the wall. You say, "Boy, that'd be a scary thing." Why aren't you scared? If my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which it is when I'm saved, then what I do to this body, he does care. Just as he cared about those cups that were his. And the writing on the wall said, "Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin." And what's he saying? Basically he's saying, you're going to die. And at the very time they're having this party and everything, the enemy has dried up the river that flows through the city. Read it in your history book. It's all there. And they dried up the river that flowed through the city. The Medes and the Persians marched right through that dry riverbed underneath the walls of the city and came in and wiped out the great empire that had once been. You say, you don't really believe it was because they used a cup. Yeah, I do. Yeah. Oh, I really do. Because that was God's. That was God's. And I'm God's. God's real serious about what's his. He wants to dwell with me. He made it all possible. He planned it. He laid the foundation. And he's built this temple. And he dwells in me. And you know what? It's up to me. It's up to me to try to keep this temple everything it can be for him, because I am his. If you're here today and you're saved, you are his. It's God's desire to dwell with you. Take care of that temple. Don't desecrate that temple. Don't mess with that temple. What a privilege, what an honor it is to have God's Holy Spirit living in us. Do you grieve him? The Bible talks about grieving the Holy Spirit. What's that? Making him sad. A couple of you have goofed off the whole service. That makes him sad. Sure. Yeah. Do we quench him? What do you mean quench? Well, that's when he speaks to our heart. We say, oh, no, I don't want to do that. Do we quench it? God's desire to dwell with man. He wants his temple to be what he wants it to be. He planned it. He designed it. He laid the foundation. And he's building you and I. We should, really, surrendering. That's just, he calls it reasonable. Isn't it? It's just reasonable. Just a reasonable thing that we would say, God, we would do exactly what Mary said. Here am I, Lord. Here am I. You dwell in me. Now you live through me. Let's bow our heads, please.